Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're happy once again to be with you. I told the congregation a couple of Sundays ago, I can't wait till next Sunday because it just seems like God is saying so much to us that is encouraging in a time when we need courage and encouragement so very, very much. So we pray that you will stay tuned for the next 30 minutes right here on WMAF. We're glad that we have a return audience that's listening. We welcome you back to Let's Talk About Jesus. And if you are a brand new listener, I pray that you will stay tuned today. We're looking into God's eternal word for instructions in how to cope in these troubled times and these dark days. We're living in what the Bible described as the last days. I describe these days as the last of the last days, because so many prophecies concerning the end times, the soon coming of Jesus, have been fulfilled, that we indeed are living in the last of the last days. Something that would mark the last days, particularly, is that perilous times would come. And you can't read the paper, a periodical, you can't pick up the newspaper, turn on CNN, turn on your computer, that you don't see things that absolutely overwhelm us sometimes. What a world that we are living in today. Is there hope in times like this? Absolutely. Is there peace to be found in such a troubled time? Absolutely. Can we live undisturbed in an uncertain world? The Bible says that we can if we follow God's instructions. So we're going to talk about practicing holy carelessness again out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. And we're going to read that in just a moment. But first, we would like to thank each and every one of you that allow us to be part of your devotional life. We're just so grateful that you have come back again, and we use the term a lot of a media missionary. All of us can't go to Africa, to India, to Asia, wherever God may send us, but we can involve other people in that blesses, and if people that don't know Christ, you can tell them about a broadcast that has no ulterior motive except bring the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly, plainly, show the benefits and the value of the cross and the blood of Jesus. And if you know someone with a computer anywhere in the United States or in the world, just type in WMAF. Tell them to type in WMAF on any good search engine if they're connected to the World Wide Web. And up in the right-hand corner of the WMAF homepage is WMAF. You'll bless them with great listening and give them access to broadcasts like this and others who minister right here on WMAF. We would be so grateful. God will bless you and bless others, and it will cause this radio station's influence to grow, and through it, this broadcast and others that magnify Jesus will go wherever He wants to send it, and you can be part of that process. We're glad you're listening today. Amen. We're going to talk about holy carelessness again out of Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I want you to listen very carefully to this scripture. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing." You know what that means? It means don't worry about anything. This is one of the most challenging scriptures in all of the Bible. I had a tremendous smoking habit before I came to Jesus, and I'm so glad that I laid that thing down with God's help, and it took God's help. I never was able to conquer it in myself. I did love to smoke, but when I came to the Lord and I realized, some things I wanted to lay down, that was one of them, and God helped me with that, and it was a challenge, but God helped me with it, and He set me free from it. And I've been free all these years, and I'm so glad that I don't have all the health issues that years and years can possibly bring. But, you know, worry's different. Worry's something I want to lay down too. And I'm telling you, it's a lot harder to lay down worry, not to worry about anything. Now, I don't believe that means to not be concerned about genuine things. Jesus was concerned about the harvest fields and the lack of laborers and the harvest that was going to waste, literally souls that were going to be lost because there were not enough people involved in an evangelistic effort to see others saved. And he was concerned, and the Bible said he was concerned to the point of being moved to compassion, literally to have the bowels to yearn over. And he, in Matthew's gospel, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers unto the field. The harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. I'm glad that he cares about us. But worry is different from genuine concerns. If you've got a lost loved ones that need Jesus, you should be genuinely concerned, concerned enough to pray. But after you pray, you needn't worry anymore. Concerns cause us to pray. Listen to this. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That simply means direct request. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. That means to mount guard. It's like a giant fortress. It's many in ancient times they called them the keep, because they kept people within and they kept in the people within and they kept enemies without, praise God, from coming in. And they shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This is a challenging scripture, and yet it is one of those things that we absolutely need to get right in our walk with God. The condemnation of worry is something that we all have to deal with. Sir Walter Scott, when he was 55, was saddled with a large debt. I don't know if any of you know anything about large debts. I do. It caused him much distress and worry. His doctor said to him one day, Sir Walter, if you do not cease worrying, you will die. Scott looked up with a sad smile and said, Why, doctor, as long as that debt is hanging over my head, I cannot help worrying. I know the worrying is killing me, but you might as well go tell my cook to order the water in the kettle not to boil, as to command my brain not to worry. Listen, be careful for nothing means don't worry about anything. When you understand the consequences of the worry, you understand the condemnation of worry. To put it very simply, we are not to worry. And most of us are going to agree with Sir Walter Scott. I can't help but worry. But look again at our text and see that Paul not only tells us not to worry, but gives us God's answer for worry. Listen, there are directions here for a trusting heart. We read in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Paul tells us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. I want to say that again. He says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. You know, we used to sing the camp meeting song. It was really a beautiful anthem. It said, leave them there. Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Most of us take our burdens to the Lord, and when we're through praying, we pick them back up and we pack them away with us, and we become bowed down and bowed down under the load of it. But the scripture said in the Old Testament, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. God is faithful when we commit things unto Him. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. And that cast your burden means to roll it over onto another. Oh, so many times I go to God in prayer and I roll my burden over on the Lord. And then I direct my thoughts. You know, the Bible said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure and holy and good report and lovely and praiseworthy, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, the moment we get through praying, we need to direct our thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us on the cross. And understand that if God loved us, as Paul said, enough to give us His only begotten Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus taught that not one sparrow falls from the sky without our Father taking direct notice, without it touching Him deeply and personally. He cares about every living creature, the very least to the greatest. And Jesus said, and you are worth more than many sparrows, literally than all the sparrows in the world. You have supreme worth with God. And if the least in His creation touches His heart, whatever is touching you today is touching Him. Oh, friend of mine, we have a God who loves us too much for us to worry when we have a Heavenly Father that is so trustworthy. Praise the Lord. Amen. We shouldn't worry about anything because we learn to pray about everything, and not just pray, but to trust God, to cast our burden upon the Lord while we're praying, and when we're done praying, to leave it there. Praise God. Listen, there's a story told of a celebrated Austrian composer, Franz Joseph Haydn. He was in the company of several distinguished guests. The conversation turned to the best means of restoring mental energies when exhausted with long and difficult studies. One person had an answer, and this is what he said. His recourse was to drink an entire bottle of wine. You know, alcoholism is a major issue in America, and many people are plagued with it. And many people are not trying to party down and have a good time. They're trying to cope with the pain and pressure of life. There's a better answer than drinking today for the pain and the pressure of life. Another remarked, and his solution was to involve himself in the company of others, literally to get lost in conversations till he quit thinking about his troubles for a while. But when Haydn was asked what he did, he replied that his practice was to retire to his study and engage in prayer. Incredible. You know, when we learn to pray prayers that commit, the Apostle Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed unto Him against that day. Talking about the coming day of judgment that's coming. Listen, if we can commit our soul safe keeping to God, can't we commit our life to God? And by the way, friend, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, you haven't committed your soul safe keeping to Him, that's the first step in not worrying. Amen. Is finding that peace that floods the human soul when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Peace with God will allow us to experience the great peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. I was using Stuart and Jill Briscoe as a fine Bible teachers, a great example of Christian marriage and Christianity in general. And Stuart Briscoe has a wonderful testimony of faithfulness to God down through the years. And someone asked him, Stuart, how do you overcome? How do you live out the Christian life with such reverence and love for the Lord and such respectability? How do you live this out? out because they looked at him as a paragon of strength and something almost unachievable by the average Christian. And Stuart Briscoe said, "Listen, friend, when I am troubled, when the pressure is on, when I am tempted, when I am weak, I go into our living room, I draw the drapes, I lay down on the carpet on my face before God, and I cry out to him." David said, "I cried unto the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears." Fear is at the root of all worry. And if we conquer fear, friend, we conquer worry with it. When fear falls, so does worry. Amen. I like the guy. Maybe it's a little bit too simplistic, but he said, "Fear knocked at the door. I sent faith to answer it, and faith said, 'There's nobody here.'" Hallelujah. Amen. There's no one there. God is so faithful, we can trust Him with everything and everyone in our life. God's answer to worry is prayer. Yet it seems that prayer is the last thing we do when we are really, truly worried. Paul tells us it should be the first and foremost thing that we do when worried about something. Notice more carefully what he says about praying when we are worried. First, he says, "Take your worries to God in everything by prayer and supplication." The words that he uses speaks of presenting your needs to God. They speak of laying your petitions, your definite requests before the Lord in prayer that He might meet those needs. We are to take our worries to God and tell God our worries. The psalmist said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." Psalm 55, verse 22, "He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never allow us to fail, fall apart, if we truly put our trust in Him." And then trust your worries to God. Take your worries to God first in prayer, but then trust your worries to God. We also read in verse 6, "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." We can bring the things to God that worry us, and then we can come to God with thanksgiving, leaving our worries with Him. Oh, I'm so thankful today that I have a Father in heaven, not just a force in the heavenlies. It's so good to have a God that I can trust with the things that concern me the most. And I find myself constantly having to go to God in prayer about all of the things that press in upon me. We have so much. We live in an uncertain world, but we live in the certain faith that God cares about us and He loves us deeply. And we can trust Him with all of these important issues and people of our life. When we come to God, no matter what it is that concerns us, troubles us, and perplexes us, we can come with thanksgiving that He's available, that we have a Heavenly Father we can go to with our worries. He's available. I think of the little poem that said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Jesus taught, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. For the Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Oh, when you go to God in prayer, you bow before Him. You acquiesce to His will. Oh, what peace there is in the resignation to the will of God in prayer. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." When you acquiesce to the will of God, it ends a lot of frustrations. I want the will of God in my life. It's not always what I may have chosen if I, in my personal wisdom, was given the chance. Oh, but listen, when I pray, I always acknowledge there is a sovereign God who loves me and is working in my life and the life of the ones I love for eternal good, not just for temporal convenience, but for eternal good. Orogel will help you through a terrible toothache. It may get you through the night, but it will not solve the problem. It's going to take something else. You may need a root canal for the lasting good in your life. And I would rather squirt a little Orogel on an area of my tooth and just keep on going. But after a while, we have to realize that we need something that's longer lasting than a temporary numbing. And God always works for that that lasts. Hallelujah. He never puts a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. He stops the bleeding. He is a good and gracious God. Hallelujah. We need to take our worries to God. We need to trust them to the Lord. We do have a Heavenly Father that cares. That's why the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all of your care upon Him. Why? What's the incentive for that? Because the Scripture tells you to trust Him. The Scripture tells you to trust Him, yes, but the Scripture also tells you how much He cares for you. How much He loves you. So 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all of your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. He really cares for you. You can trust Him because He loves you so very, very much. Amen. I love the Amplified. It said, casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon Him. For He cares for you and watches over you affectionately. You know, up in Ocala, there used to be a kind of a theme park called Six Gun Territory. And I remember when I was very young, that was a long, long time ago. But I was a young father, and I had my oldest son, who's now 45 years old. He was about 5 years, so that marks it about 40 years ago. And we were walking through that old western town, just taking in the ambiance, the atmosphere of that old west setting. And we didn't realize at certain times, we knew it was going to happen, but we were kind of not watching our watches. At certain times of day, they would have a simulated bank robbery and a simulated shootout. And I remember my son was with his grandfather walking ahead of my wife and I was just a little bit concerned that I wasn't getting to be the hero. I paid our way in after all, and this is my little boy, and he's up there with granddaddy, because, you know, granddaddy is an easy, easy mark. He'll buy you the snow cones and candy bars and let you get away with stuff, and dad was a little more strict than that. I would limit the snow cones to one or two, but he's up there with granddad until the fight started. Oh, when the cowboys begin to run around with blank bullets and guns blazing, my son just stopped in his tracks. This little 5-year-old kid, amen. We were about 15 feet behind Grandpa and him, and he turned and he came running to me, and he jumped when he got right in front of me, and I grabbed him in my arms and held him. He nestled his head in my shoulder, and I tightened my grip on him and held him close and reassured him, there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing's going to hurt anyone. Come on, lighten up, have fun. This is not for real. This is okay. Well, listen, folks, it blessed me that he turned to me. He knew I loved him, and I was strong enough to help him. And when the real trouble come, he run to daddy. Amen. Listen, friend, when real trouble comes in my life, I run to my Heavenly Father. Do you see how faith honors God? Amen. Because it acknowledges that He is trustworthy. I felt so good when my son trusted me with his very life. And it blesses our Father, amen, our Heavenly Father, when we trust Him with everything and everyone in our life. Faith honors God, and because faith honors God, God honors faith. Amen. A God that loves us will reach down and pick us up when we run to Him. He will embrace us and He will, in fact, hold us close to Himself. I make no bones about it. I go to my Father. I cry out to Him and He lifts me up again and again. As I grow older in my personal life and older in life experiences and older in the Lord, the longer I study the Word, the longer I walk with God, the more I depend upon Him and the more simplistic and childlike my faith becomes. I'm not talking about childishness. I'm talking about a simple trust in God. You know, the New Testament word faith in the Old Testament is always rendered trust. Faith can be misconstrued as a force that develops within us. I've often heard people mention the force of faith, and I know they're alluding to the power of faith and what can be accomplished in our life as we put our total faith in God. But the word trust really needs to be understood to understand New Testament faith. Old Testament word trust helps define New Testament faith. And really, without understanding trust, when I use the word trust, I think of a person, not a force within, but a person who is trustworthy, who is faithful, who loves unconditionally, someone that you could trust with your very life. Listen, friend, you've got a Heavenly Father, if you're a Christian, that you can trust with your very soul. Hallelujah. He will not fail you. Jesus said He would never leave you. He would never forsake you. He made a commitment to you. And listen, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can trust Him today. The only way to achieve this peace of God is to begin with peace with God. When God becomes your Father, and you become His child, and Christ becomes your shepherd, and you become one of the sheep of His pasture. Hallelujah. You can rest in Him. In fact, David said of this shepherd God that he had learned to love and to know, he said, He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. Sheep won't lay down. Did you know that? Unless there's all the things that trouble them have been removed. If there is a lion near, hey, if there's a wolf creeping up, if there's a snake crawling, he won't lay down. Even if the weather is too stormy, he's absolutely too wound up to rest. And many times the shepherd would go over to that sheep, put his hand on their head and speak to them kindly and comfortably until they relaxed because they knew they were under the watch care of the shepherd. Friend, today, you, if you're a Christian, are under the watch care of the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. You have a great Father in heaven who loves you enough that He gave His only begotten Son for you. And you can rest assured today that He has heard your cry. Go to Him. If you lay on your face, you don't have to stand and quote Scripture. You can get on your face and cry out to God, and God will listen. Amen. He cares about you so much. In fact, the Bible said His eyes are on the righteous, and His ears are open to your cries. Sure as I reached down when my son reached up, God is reaching down to you today as you are reaching up. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible describes you this way, friend, that you're without hope because you're without God in this present world. And you need today to reach up. He knows every sin you've ever committed, and He loves you in spite of them. He wants to forgive you, reconcile you, restore you, save you. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and number you in His great flock right now. Would you reach up to Him? I believe with all of my heart that He's reaching down to you. And today, you can become a Christian and trust God with all that is in your life and your soul and your future. We love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?